This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. There is a common misunderstanding about non-dual awareness, spiritual awakening, liberation, self-realization, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it. All those terms are misleading because they come with so much religious conceptual baggage, so I don't like using them. But you have to use something. What I am talking about is the experiential shift from a separate dualistic existence to unitive awareness. The misunderstanding is that this is a cure-all for everything that ails us. There is the idea, and it is just an idea, nothing else that people have, that from some magic moment, they will dwell in a blissful consciousness that solves all their mental, emotional, psychological problems and issues, and maybe even all of our physical problems as well. That hope is what drives a lot of people to begin the spiritual search. They want a relief from suffering. And that hope is not entirely misplaced, it's just misunderstood. The Buddha himself said that the root of human existence is suffering. He uses the word dukkha, which means off balance, off center, out of kilter. His way of the Four Noble Truths and Eightfold Path was the end of this suffering. It is solved by discovering that we are no self, anatta, as the Buddha put it, that we are not a self that is suffering, that there is no separate little physical, psychological entity that is suffering. That realization is the end of suffering. But that does not mean that this human body will not feel pain, and that the mind will not have emotion, including negative emotion. The psyche still has emotions, including strong negative emotions, but they're no longer ours. The ego is seen through, but the ego still hangs around like a guest that has outstayed his welcome, and it still suffers. The ego does not disappear completely. The ego, or psyche, or again, whatever you want to call it, is how we function in the world. As long as there is a body and a mind, there is a human psyche. Jesus had a psyche, an ego, a self, a mind. Consequently, Jesus had strong emotions throughout his life, right up to the end of his life. We see Jesus crying at the grave of his friend Lazarus. We see emotions on full display in the Passion narrative. Jesus is suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his death, sweating blood. Luke, who was a physician, said in his gospel, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." So he says Jesus was in anguish. He was praying for a way to avoid being tortured on the cross. He didn't want to die that way, and that's certainly understandable. We also see these emotions when Jesus was on the cross dying, when he cried out asking why God had forsaken him. So we see psychological suffering even in Jesus' last hours of life. So we should not be surprised if this human mind that we identify with experiences suffering, psychological suffering, and physical suffering. The awakened life does not mean there's no trauma in life, but it provides a way through it. This was vividly demonstrated in my life recently. Last Sunday, I went to a Baptist Association meeting. Now, I thought I had finished with all denominational meetings when I had retired from pastoral ministry 7 years ago. But, you know, I'm part of a church, and the church asked me if I would be the Baptist representative to the denomination, and I said yes. And part of that was that I was expected to go to the annual association meeting, so I went. I had forgotten just how badly Baptists can behave when they get together. At the meeting, there was constant negativity and complaining and criticism. One of the first people I talked with before the meeting had even begun was a minister, colleague, dressed in coat and tie, and he went on a rant about how all men ought to wear coat and tie to the association meeting, and especially to worship every Sunday in the local church. Of course, I was wearing my flannel shirt and blue jeans. Another pastor during the meeting was ranting about how Baptists need to enforce doctrinal orthodoxy. Then the issues of women in ministry and gay marriage were raised. Throughout the meeting, there was a spirit of judgment toward people who thought differently. It was horrible. It's no wonder that churches are dying. And that's what they're talking about and the way they're approaching things. I decided right then and there I was never going to an associational meeting again. And I would not attend a church if a church was like that either. The emotions that were raised at this meeting did not end when the association meeting ended. It triggered memories of my previous church and denomination in Pennsylvania, and the whole situation had burned me out because of all the conflict that was going on, and it led to depression and something akin to PTSD because of the church and denominational conflict, and I was so broken at that time that I left ministry for a year and a half to recover. The good thing was that the brokenness started me on the project of deconstructing my Christianity, which led to spiritual awakening. This association meeting last Sunday brought back those negative memories and the emotional trauma connected to them. I woke up in the middle of that night, Sunday night, filled with angst and fear and anxiety and anger. The good news is that I now know how to deal with and process these emotions and what action I needed to take. And that brought an end to the suffering pretty quickly. But my point is that the ego, I, still experiences things like that now. Everyone experiences things like that. Every spiritual teacher has such emotions. No one is perfect. No one is so fully awake and solely fully realized that this will not happen to them. Everyone is broken. You cannot be spiritually awake unless the ego is first broken. And that brokenness never completely goes away. And that brokenness leaves wounds. Even the risen Jesus, the story says, had wounds. He did not try to hide them. He showed his wounds to his disciples. Any spiritual teacher who is worth his or her salt will show their wounds to their disciples and not hide them. Any teacher who implies by their silence or saying it out loud that they're not still broken in some way is a liar. They are deceiving others, and they may even be deceiving themselves because they feel like they have to put on the mask of the enlightened spiritual teacher. And they're just encouraged by their followers, who tend to deify their teachers. That's what Christians did to Jesus, deified him. Disciples literally put them on a pedestal and idolize them, and they expect them to be perfect. So teachers today feel like they need to at least appear perfect, so they hide their wounds. But they're going to come out somehow. And when they come out, they might be really messy. You know, that's a recipe for disaster, hypocrisy like that is. The truth is, life is suffering. That's what the Buddha said, his first noble truth. As long as we are alive, there is suffering. No one is exempt. Not the Buddha, not Jesus. Those teachers who admit their brokenness are the most honest teachers. I've noticed recently that Scott Killaby is teaching this truth a lot right now, and I applaud him for it. He's calling it transparency. Justin Foster, in his Third Way podcast, is talking about this, and he's modeling this truth in his work, especially in what he's now calling his manologues. The awakening life involves continually acknowledging, exposing, and resolving this brokenness of life. This brokenness is symbolized in Christianity in the crucifixion of Jesus. The strength of Christianity is that it embraces this aspect more than many religious traditions. The cross is a picture of brokenness, and it's a symbol of the Christian faith, our central symbol. It's not Jesus sitting under the Bodhi tree with a serene smile on his face. It is Jesus dying on a tree, broken physically, psychologically. Because Jesus was broken, we are then given permission to acknowledge our brokenness. And it is brokenness that allows the light of God to shine in, and the light of God to shine out, until eventually all the broken pieces fall away at death, and we are holy light, and we see that we have only ever been that light, and not that shell, that cracked and broken shell that we thought we were. In the gospel narrative, the story of Jesus does not end with the brokenness of Gethsemane or Calvary. The brokenness of the cross of Jesus is followed by the tomb of Jesus, which is the symbol of death. It is physical death, but it also symbolizes ego death. The ego is a product of the body and dies with the body. The burial of Jesus is then followed in the gospel story with the empty tomb story. And the empty tomb symbolizes emptiness. The significance of the empty tomb is often overlooked. It's not just a prelude to resurrection. It represents the void, the primordial void, which is the source of all. It also symbolizes the womb from which new life comes. Notice that in the Gospels, there's no record of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there are resurrection appearances, but no story of the moment of resurrection. No story of the Jesus waking up in the tomb and then walking out of the tomb. Instead, in the stories, we have a stone rolled away and the tomb empty before the women disciples arrive. Or in one of the stories, the stone is rolled away only after the disciples arrive. So they see it rolled away and they look and the tomb is already empty. The focus is on the emptiness, not the resurrection appearances that are to follow. The empty tomb points to emptiness, which is at the heart of existence. When the resurrection happens, when the appearances are told, they're not what we expect, for no one recognizes Christ. That's not what we would expect if it's all about bodily resurrection of the physical body. The resurrection is about what happens on the other side of brokenness. The resurrection is a symbol of wholeness. It is a wholeness on the other side of brokenness and the void. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are symbolic. Exactly what happened on Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday can be debated by historians, theologians, and biblical scholars. But the spiritual meaning is crystal clear. It is about the process of brokenness and emptiness followed by wholeness. Wholeness is the end of suffering. The risen Christ is no longer suffering, even though he still has the wounds of his suffering. Our wholeness comes through a process of going through suffering and dying and emptying. That process continues throughout our physical life, just like it continued throughout Jesus's physical life. Complete end to physical suffering comes only with physical death. So many, maybe all of them, I don't know, of the great spiritual teachers I'm aware of had physical suffering in their lives, often physical illness, a serious physical illness, like cancer or something, that resulted in death. Now, I'm sure that physical suffering like this and the psychological suffering that comes from it can be lessened through practices of yoga and bodily and mental control, but not completely eliminated. Only death completely eliminates it. Same with ego death, which only permanently occurs at physical death. Throughout life, there's a process of gradual dying of the ego as we stop feeding the ego. If we feed the ego, it remains strong. But if we reckon it dead, which is the expression that the Apostle Paul uses, then we don't feed it and it slowly dies. I have a niece who had a leg amputated because of cancer. She still has strong pain in that limb, even though it no longer exists. A lot of amputees testify to such phantom pain. It's the same with ego suffering. The ego is dead and gone when we see it for what it really is. But there's still pain. The presence of some psychological suffering doesn't mean that we're not awake or awakening. A lot of people think they haven't got it. Non-dual awareness, because they still have certain psychological issues. They think that to be awake means to be free of any issues. Well, that's a pipe dream. It's not true. The awakening life is a process of living from our true nature and acknowledging that our brokenness is still around for the time being. Brokenness is not a problem. It is a blessing that facilitates the process of awakening. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of the Tao of Christ.